Scripture tonight will be from Genesis 13, verses 8 through 10. Genesis 13, verses 8 through 10. So Abraham said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar.
So on Sunday nights, we've been focusing a lot on the Old Testament. We've been doing that because sometimes we don't get a whole lot of Old Testament training. And so tonight I decided to speak about Lot and his choice. You know, choice is a pretty big thing in our world. If you listen to CNBC every day, there will be half a dozen pundits on there trying to tell you where to park your money at. Because, you know, they speculate, well, this is going to happen in the market, or that's going to happen in the market. And they all sound pretty smart, usually. So how do you choose what to do with your investments? We have a couple of knuckleheads on the radio. I'm kind of sick of listening to them. I love sports talk radio, but I'm kind of tired of what they do. But one of the games they play is Would You Rather? And callers call in and present them with two pretty lousy scenarios to choose between on Would You Rather? It's not good. It's not worth your time listening to. So, you know, choice is something that's always before us. You know, my daughter and son-in-law and grandkids, they're moving to a new school district because they want their kids in a different school district. You know, they made choices based on certain information. We're always, always, always trying to make the best choice. And, you know, sometimes we seek counsel. Other times we take our own counsel. But we want to make the best choices that we can. Well, in Genesis 13, as we just read, we have this situation where Abram and his nephew Lot are doing so well that there's starting to be contention between their herdsmen. Their flocks are huge. Maybe there's not enough place to graze for them or water. So they decide it's best if we go different directions. Okay? And just a couple of things here. Lot, again, was Abraham's, or Abram at this time, his nephew. He came with him. I suspect he was wealthy because Abraham was wealthy. That's not in the scriptures anywhere, but sometimes people get rich because of who they hang on to. And I think Lot was hanging on to Abraham because he knew some good things were going on there. Okay, so Lot had a choice. Okay. And Abram gave him the choice. If we go down again, verse 9, Abram said, "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, I will go to the right, or if the right, then go to the left." So Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So he's looking around and he looks down into this valley and he sees a well-watered land. Now, you know, if Art was here tonight, he would tell you that farmers like well-watered land, okay? They want to be able to grow their crops. They want to be able to provide water to their livestock. Well-watered areas do well. They're green. It's not like going out into the desert or into the wilds and trying to find a place where your crops to grow there. And, you know, we know deserts don't have a whole lot of water, right? So, you know, Abram was giving him the choice. I don't know if any of you watched the movie Moneyball or not, but Billy Beane, who was the general manager for the Oakland A's, was tested. He lost his three best baseball players, and he was challenged because he had to try to replace their production in the lineup. All the rich teams took his best players, and there weren't players like that available. So he had to make some choices of how to go. And so he went with statistical analysis to try to figure all that out. Well, if you watch the movie, you find out that he made decisions in his life based on money. One of the big decisions that he made was he was recruited by scouts when he was a younger man. He had a full-ride scholarship, I believe it was to Stanford, available to him. And the scouts came and said, hey, come play for us. You know, you're a five-talent guy. You have all this capability. And so he decided to go after the money. And he didn't do very well in the big leagues. Eventually, he decided, I'm not making it here, and decided to become a scout, which led to him becoming a general manager. He made a decision in his life based on money. That's what he saw. He didn't make a decision because that's what he wanted to do. He made a decision based on money. And he said that he would never make another decision based on money again. Later on in the movie, after his statistical analysis plan works to get his team back to the playoffs, the Red Sox come knocking at his door. And the Red Sox want to hire him as a general manager. And the dollar amount that they're talking about giving him is the most that any general manager has ever made in baseball, or any sport for that matter. He decided he was not ever going to make a decision based on money again. He turned it down because he wanted to win with Oakland. Well, they never won. But anyway, he didn't make the decision based on money. Okay. Well, I can see Lot in this situation. It'd be easier to go down here to the Jordan. It's Jordan Valley. It's green. I can go water my crops. Guess what? There's cities nearby, so if we want to get away for a weekend, we can go to the city. His headspace, and again, it doesn't say this, but I can see the gears turning in his head. I can make more money here. I can go down and have an easier life here. What if Lot would have stood back and prayed to God and asked him about his decision? What if Lot had had that kind of relationship? Or what if he would have even said to Abraham, hey, you have a relationship with God, ask him about it. What if he would have done something that was selfless and said, you know what, I'm rich because I'm hanging around you. You pick, and I'll go the other way. Lot wasn't using his head, and he wasn't using values to make the right decision. So here he is, the nephew of Abraham. He sojourned with him in Genesis 12:5. He was wealthy like his uncle, and he was in this situation where he had to make a choice. Let's go down to Genesis chapter 14 and look at verse 11 and following. His choice led to a lot of problems. It led to war, kidnapping, oppression and torment by the citizens of Sodom, loss of all his material wealth, the death of his wife, the shame of incest with his daughters. All these things happened because, despite the fact that Lot was actually a righteous man. He made a bad choice, and all these things happened to his family. In Genesis 14:11, the scripture says, they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food supply and departed. They also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Then a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew. Now he was living by the oaks of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were allies with Abram. When Abraham heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went and pursued as far as Dan. Okay, Abram took his trained men to war. He took his trained men to get back his kidnapped family. He took his trained men to rescue Lot. If Lot decides to go a different direction, this stuff doesn't happen to him. We know that he lived in Sodom, and we know why that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by God for the evil things that went on there. We know that he was visited by angels, and that the men there wanted those angels, and he offered up his daughters for that. He just keeps making bad, bad decisions, time after time. Lot just didn't get it. And he wasn't, even though he was a righteous man, a good man, he wasn't using his head, and he wasn't pointed towards God. The example of Lot should impress us with the importance of making the proper choices in our lives. These choices affect us in many ways. So I'm going to suggest a few things tonight of what we can do to make better choices, okay? The greatest choice that we can make is whether we're going to follow God or not. If we're going to follow God, a lot of our choices become better because we're going to do His will. We know that God has given us His will, told us His way of doing things. We read in scriptures how we're supposed to act as Christians. So we know that the decisions made from that will be better, and that our lives will be more peaceful, that we'll be able to live that quiet life that we're encouraged to live. We also know that that choice will determine our place in eternity. You know, if I make a bad choice about whether I'm going to follow God or not, it's going to carry over into eternity. And we'll wish, time after time after time, why did I make that choice? We don't want to be like the rich man in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, who was in torment. So we need to make good decisions about following God. We also know that following Him will have a bearing on every other choice that we make in life. We could make good decisions about choosing our career. There's some of us young enough that are going to have a career in front of us. Or we could have a good outcome in choosing what we're going to do in retirement. You know, are we going to build bigger barns, or are we going to follow the Lord? Are we going to choose a career because I'm going to make lots of money, or because it's going to satisfy me? You know, I chose a career that I knew was going to take care of my family. That was important to me. I chose a career where I wouldn't have to work a lot of evenings and weekends because I wanted to be with my family. I wanted to do church work. So IT's been a good decision for me. But those choices were made with the Lord in mind, not because you can make a lot of money. I don't know. You might see I'm driving a Toyota Corolla, so whether you make a lot of money or not, I don't know if that's the case or not. Maybe more than some, but not as much as others. Okay? Certainly in choosing your mate, it's important for us to make good decisions. You know, Kira and I have been married for 38 years. She helps me in my walk towards heaven. I told both of my sons-in-law before they married my daughters, are you going to help them get to heaven? That's an important thing. But it's not just choosing your mate when you first start out. It's also choosing your mate day after day after day. The divorce rate is up again. Guess why? People over 50 are getting divorced more and more and more. You know what? I can't imagine divorcing my wife after 38 years. Okay? I just don't understand that. We need to make good choices about our mate. And again, those choices come under the Lord. Okay? Choosing our friends, who we hang out with. Let's go over to Proverbs, if you will. And let's go to Proverbs 17 and verse 17. Scripture there says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Do we have friends that love us? Do we have friends that genuinely care about our soul? Do we have friends that will talk truth to power to us when maybe we're headed the wrong direction? Do we have friends that encourage us and strengthen us? These are some of the decisions that we need to make in our life and make good choices about. So we can do this by several ways. Turn with me, if you will, over to James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. First thing that we should do when making a decision is ask God for wisdom. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We can ask God for wisdom, and he'll give us wisdom. He'll help us to make a better decision. He'll help us to use his understanding. I can't tell you how many times I've asked God about something. I've looked back later, and God's ways were better than mine. And thank you, God, that you didn't give me what I asked for here. Thank you, God, that you gave me what I asked for at the right time. You know, sometimes we ask God, I want something and I want it right now. God's wisdom is greater than ours. So we can ask God for wisdom. We can also seek for advice from others. Let's go over again to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. If you've got good counselors around you that are based in God, that are giving you advice, that's a gift. We need to listen to those people. We need to try to find as many godly counselors as we can. So let's ask God for wisdom. Let's find good counselors. We need to do what we do for the Lord's sake and not for our own. Let's go over to Psalms chapter 37 and look at verses 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. If we commit ourselves to the Lord in our choices, God will do those things for us that we need to do. You know, if Lot would have just said, God, what do you want me to do in my life? Instead of just saying, well, that looks pretty good over there, I'm going to go do that. He wasn't committed to the Lord. He was committed to himself. So we don't want to be selfish in our way of making choices. We want to make sure that we're keeping the right priorities in mind. You know, I wish I could say I was perfect about all my choices. And sometimes we're going to make choices that just aren't right. So Lot realized he made some bad choices in life. You know, even though he went down to Sodom and Gomorrah and he made bad decisions there, he was warned to leave. Guess what? Lot left. He got out of there. He made the right decision then. He corrected a lot of his problems by getting out of there. Unfortunately, his wife turned back and looked, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. I saw some salt shakers, and one of them was shaped like Mrs. Lot. So it was kind of funny, but it's a good reminder to us, don't look back. Make a decision based on God. Follow his ways, and don't look back. Do what is right without reservation. Okay? Move towards what you know to be right in the Lord. He could do what Peter did after he denied Christ. He can repent. You can resolve to serve the Lord. He was a man who wept bitterly because of his betrayal of the Lord, that he turned himself around. Unlike Judas, who saw only despair and went and hung himself. That was a horrible choice. When you make a mistake, you make own the mistake, and then you try to move forward and live your life with God. Do what Paul did after persecuting the church. Do you think Paul felt horrible about putting Christians in prison? I mean, at one time he says, I'm chief among sinners. I think he felt pretty bad about that. But he accepted the forgiveness that Jesus provides, and he determined to live for the Lord the rest of his life. He endured so many things, but he continued to persevere. So the wrong thing to do is to continue with a bad choice because of pride or some other evil reason. We need to make sure that we correct when we make bad choices. The example of Lot should serve to teach us that making the proper decision is very important, and to warn us that we shouldn't make our choices lightly, and we shouldn't make our choices improperly without the proper approach. So, you know, there are some people in this country that say, remember the Alamo? I would tell you, remember Lot. Remember him and his life and what happened with him to this day. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 28, and let's look at verses 19 and 20. Scripture says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This evening, if you have not been baptized into Christ, if you've not chosen to follow him, or if maybe you've made some bad choices and you want to get right with the church, get right with God, we would love to help you. Make the decision to do the right thing, whether you've made bad choices or whether you're starting out, and we will help you. Please come while we stand.